Dave and Fionnuala with you. I think it's safe to say that there is a phenomenal amount of information about the pandemic amongst us. And if you were to follow every little tiny detail, you would get a sore head. It's almost impossible. You get brain fog. You're trying to take in the figures and the vaccine rollout and what is happening here and there. It's hard to follow.
And then there are a lot of different angles that you don't necessarily think of immediately when you're thinking about the pandemic, but they have impact on real people's lives, and there's a lot of different threads to that too.
May we present to you something new called Simplified, where we take some of these issues, whether it is the vaccine rollout, the different types of vaccines, the efficacy rate, we try and condense them down and hand you the information on a plate. We start gently today on something that we're all concerned about. Our finances.
Sorry, I ain't got no money. I'm not trying to be funny, but I left it all at home today.
This is...
My name is Eugene Ryan. A business we've developed over the past couple of years is money coaching. It's how to help people have more money at the end of the month without using budgets and spreadsheets.
And Eugene has a big love for...
I have a love of behavioral economics, which I know sounds very nerdy.
Yes, it does sound very nerdy, but what is behavioral economics?
So behavioral economics, anything behavioral, is about how you can set things up to have better outcomes for yourself. You reduce the hurdles on the things you want to do more of, and you increase the size of the hurdles on the things you want to do less of. Behavioral has become a real buzzword. People do behavioral architecture now, which is how to design a house so you live the life more of how you want to live it, maybe, than how you don't want to live it. So behavioral economics recognizes that normal economics assumes that everybody makes rational, clear, easy decisions. Everybody will buy something at the lowest price, or they'll buy something that has the most value to them, or whatever it might be. And the reality is that's not the case.
Give us an example of an irrational decision that we might make.
If you're looking at buying something, say, €100 in one shop and 50 in the other, most people will not pay twice the price. They will travel across town and they'll buy the product for the €50 on the other side of town. If you're buying something extremely expensive, like an entire entertainment system for the house or something like that, and the bill was €2,390 and you could get it for €2,340 on the other side of town, most people won't travel for that. But ultimately, your decision you're making is to travel a distance for a certain amount of time for a certain amount of saving. It's the same in both circumstances, but depending on what the price is anchored to will impact that.
How much does Eugene reckon that debit cards, contactless payments, etc., have affected our relationship with money?
Having easy and quick access to your funds, while it may be convenient, it may not give you the outcomes that you want. There's a real disconnect between tapping that card and the effect of actually paying for it. Research says that people who use cash instead of using cards typically spend 20% less than people who use cards. And the reason for it is that if you put money in your wallet on a Monday morning to do it for the week, you are connected. You have immediate physical feedback as you break a 50, as you put the change back in the wallet. I have a customer I worked with in Dublin on significant income, an amount of income that you would think, how could they ever have problems with overspending? But there's no limit to what people can spend. And their solution was to put an envelope in the kitchen, put money in there on a Monday morning, and that had to do them for the week.
And since we have been discouraged to use cash through this pandemic, a possible alternative?
One of the things that you could use to your advantage is Revolut, for example, or I know there's alternatives to them as well, where you could load onto that card the weekly amount of discretionary spending you have for the week, and you get much better feedback than you would get from your bank. You would get an immediate update about what the balance is that's left in there, what money you've just spent. Again, whatever you can do to help encourage you make better spending decisions.
Where does Eugene see most people go wrong with managing their money?
People will start the month with the best of intentions, and during the month will have either unexpected or bills that they should have expected happen, and then not do what they had planned that they would do at the start of the month by the time they get to the end of the month. And it leads to a cycle of failure. And most people consider themselves below average with how they deal with money, because they're looking outwardly at other people, at how successful they appear to be, the cars they drive, the clothes they wear, the things they do. And that way of approaching it on a budgeting way can create that cycle of failure. So we try and do it a different way, which is setting things up for yourself to succeed.
This is all well and good, but if you're on PUP, you don't know when you'll get back to work. What's the advice?
The first thing I'd say is, and I spoke to somebody only a couple of weeks ago in that very situation, that their rent repayment was 70% of their income at the moment. That's survival mode. You know, when you're in that kind of a scenario, you're at survival mode. one big tip that I would give them is the lessons they've learned. Lots of people have learned big lessons during this lockdown. I've learned some significant ones. I used to get in my car and drive all around the country. I now come out to my garden office shed, essentially, and I do all my work from here. I'm saving myself a lot of money on petrol, on diesel, on eating out. What I'm saying is that as income starts to come back in, and this is the trick of behavioral economics, what are the things that you can do to be more mindful around your spending? I know mindful is a buzzword now, but it really is important. How can you be more mindful about your spending? A lot of people would have cancelled their gym subscription because they couldn't go to the gym, but they would have still hopefully exercised during lockdown. So what did they do? Before they go back and renew their gym subscription, is that something they necessarily need to do? Will they get the value out of that? Should they continue to have that saving? So just being mindful around your spending, and as the money starts coming back in again, just being conscious around your spending, what areas of spending you're happy to go back spending on.
I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad, buy all of the things I never had.
Eugene Ryan, he's a money coach, guest one on our Simplified. We'll do it on Thursdays. You can find Eugene at sortmyfinances.org and find out about more what he does, speaking about how the pandemic has affected our finances, survival mode for a lot of people that don't know when they'll get back to work. They're just trying to get through this as best they can.
Exactly, and if you're in that position, we hope that there is a bounce back very soon for you and that you will get through it. And I thought it was a very interesting take from Eugene. Just that different way of thinking about it. I can safely say I hadn't heard of behavioral economics before. So just to get that insight and to look at things slightly differently, really interesting.
Yeah. iRadio in the afternoon.
With Dave and Tanula.
Hey! iRadio in the afternoon.
With Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 on iRadio.